More and more children with needs that need to be met. The special needs population inside the Putnam County Schools today in the Upper Cumberland. The number of special needs children across the Putnam County school system continues to grow. You might even call the growth numbers exponential over recent years. Sherry Roberson is supervisor of special education for the school system. Sherry Roberson, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
You've been doing this a long time. How a school system, any school system, how they approach children with disabilities, children with special needs, how has that changed just in the time you've been in education?
Oh, well, when I started back in 1989, I'm dating myself, as a special ed teacher, and a long time ago, the classes, I would say we didn't have as many students with disabilities in Putnam County. I don't know that they weren't identified the way they were now. Maybe we kept them in the general education classroom. I had students that probably were served now in self-contained classrooms with me in a resource classroom. We don't have, or didn't have back then, the specialized programming that we have now. We have grown exponentially in the number of students that we serve in Putnam County. When I started 13 years ago as the special education supervisor, we had probably 60 students certified with a disability.
And that's across the whole school system.
Across the district. And we have probably 281 students with autism at this point. So people moving in, our county has grown with just the expansion of the industries, with people coming in, people moving here from other states, students coming in with disabilities. We have an awesome special education department, not because of me, but because of the teachers that we have, with the knowledge that they have to serve our students with disabilities, the programming that I have, such a supportive board and director of schools that allow us to have the different types of programming that we have to serve our students with disabilities that the surrounding counties do not have. So parents will move here so that their children have access to the programming that we have to serve our students and the populations, the diverse populations of students with the varying disabilities that they might not have access to in the more rural counties. So they will move here just for that purpose. So we did not have all of that programming back when I first started. When I started, all of the CDC classes were at Sycamore Elementary. And then it started growing and diversifying as far as the amount of programming. So I would just say, the amount of programming we're able to provide parents has grown exponentially in the years that I have been here. And we're very blessed that we're so supportive in, are supported in this county by the community, by our board, by the administration in the different buildings, and, you know, by our commission, and just funding that we get to support our students with disabilities.
You've set our meal very well for our discussion. Perhaps a good place to also continue the definition is, how do we define today in 2024 a child with special needs? What all does that encompass?
To be served in by my department as far as special education, they have to be tested and qualify and meet the conditions that the state has set for a child with a disability. So under IDEA, there are 13 disability categories. So they're evaluated, and then they have to meet that standard to say that they're a child with that disability. And in the state of Tennessee, they also recognize gifted and functionally delayed. And so they have to meet that standard to say they are impacted such that they need that specialized instruction. They also can have a 504, which says that they're not impacted to the extent that they need special education and that specialized instruction, but they might need some accommodations in the classroom to be served under a 504, which we have. We have those. We also have, you know, RTI now, and we call it Future Ready in Putnam County. So then they receive interventions through that should they not be at the point when they need to be tested to see if they are a child with a disability, and they just need some interventions to progress within their general education environment. But to be served under that IEP, which is an individualized education program, they would have been tested and qualified with one of those disability categories.
And give us some examples of what those 13 might be.
You have intellectual disability, you have autism, you have hearing impairment, you have visual impairment, you can have multiple disabilities, learning, just a specific learning disability, whether that be in reading, math, dyslexia falls under that reading category. You can have orthopedic impairment, functionally delayed, gifted in the state of Tennessee falls under our department. So you can have gifted and be under an IEP.
That's a wide spectrum.
Oh, it's huge, yes.
So how, in terms of managing that and making sure that you're, I'm assuming it's just very customized for each child.
Yes. So once they're tested and the psychologist has done their testing to see what is impacting them in that educational setting, what is that disability, should it be a specific learning disability in reading, then their plan is written individual for them, whatever school building they may be in, what does the programming look like, what they might need from that. Should it be a learning disability in a resource classroom, what is that teacher going to use for their intervention? What does their schedule look like? If it's a more significant disability, such as an intellectual disability, do they need a self-contained classroom? That's our CDC, which is Comprehensive Development Classroom. Where might that be? You know, how much time do they need in that classroom? What program do they need? So then we sit down with that IEP and look at what their plan might look like for them.
Sherry Roberson is our guest. She is the Supervisor of Special Education for the Putnam County Schools. We continue. We're talking about the needs of special needs students, specifically in Putnam County, but really our conversation applies to so many of the school districts across the Upper Cumberland. Sherry Roberson is our guest. Where are we as a as an educational structure in decision-making about whether children with these different special needs should be separated versus being with the regular school population?
We always want children to be in with their peers in their general education classroom. So we look at what they call the LRE, the least restrictive environment, first. So students are a general education student first. That is where we want the student to be. And then you look at, so what is it they need to be successful in that general education classroom? What barrier is keeping them from being successful in that classroom? So that is always the first consideration. The first consideration is not where do we need to put the student. So we always look to see what can we do to help them be successful, what needs to be in place for them to be successful. It's not a automatic, you know, you have this disability, this is where you go.
And that's a change, isn't it, over the last 20, 30 years?
Yes, so it is. So our students, they have the opportunity, you know, and access to anything that they need. We always look at individually, where is that student going to be successful? So some students need to be in that comprehensive development classroom. Some need part of the day in there and part of the day out. Some just need to be supported in that general education classroom. It's on an individual basis as far as what they need to progress in their curriculum.
When you say supported, do you mean, for example, that they might have
I don't know if I'm calling it the correct thing, but a teacher's aide or someone that might help them.
We call them paraprofessionals. So we have, in our self-contained classrooms, we have a teacher and two assistants. So sometimes an assistant may go with them as they're out and working their way out into a general education classroom. We have assistants that are what they call one-to-one assistants, and they go with the students out into their classes to help support. We have inclusion classes, and that's where, or co-taught classes, where a general education teacher and a special education teacher co-teach the class, and the kids are in there, and they're working with all the kids. Or we have a class where it has a general education teacher and an assistant in there, and they're working together supporting the students as they're in there. So we have multiple ways where we're working side by side in those classes to support the students as they are progressing.
Is a general education teacher, and we'll just use elementary school as a jumping off point for the conversation, but is he or she much more trained today on helping special needs students than, say, in the past?
Not always. Depends on the classes that they chose to take. Many times with a lot, you think you know, every year I'm hit with a disability and I'm thinking, oh, what is that? So there's always something new. You think you've seen it all, and then you're like, well, I've never heard of that. So then you're researching to study to see, what is that syndrome? What is it that this child is coming in with? And every year is new because kids are coming in with different behavioral issues, different things that we are seeing coming in, environmental things that have impacted. We've seen a lot of things impacted from COVID, where kids were at home, and now, you know, it has impacted behaviorally. I think you see things with the mental health coming in that teachers, they're not trained to handle. And they don't get that in college. And I say it all the time, teachers in college, it's a whole different thing in college than when they hit that classroom, when it comes to behavior management, classroom management, working with students with disabilities. Until you get in the classroom, it's different than when you're sitting in a college classroom, learning about it from a book and dealing with it live in a classroom. Every child is different. You've met a child with autism, then it's not the same. You know, everyone is different. One child with a reading disability is not the same as the next child you come in contact with a reading disability, because everybody learns differently and everyone learns at a different pace. Even in a general education classroom, a child that doesn't have a disability, everybody learns differently. And so that general education classroom teacher has 24 children, you hope, less, and they all learn differently, whether they have a disability or not. So they are having to figure out, and then on top of that, if they happen to have a child with an IEP, then they're also having to figure out, with the help of that resource teacher or whoever's in there, how to get around a barrier. And there are probably four other children in there not on an IEP that are struggling and have those barriers. So it's hard on that general education teacher to figure it out.
Yeah, you think about that in terms of when you were in school, and I think we've come so far in understanding that, you know, all children are not meant to listen to a lecture for 45 minutes.
They are not, especially in an elementary school. You know, when back in the day when we just taught reading and math, I can remember in kindergarten, they came in and there was not as much pressure in what they taught in kindergarten as there is right now. It seems now they're teaching in kindergarten what was more first grade.
Yeah.
There is a lot of pressure in that. And so it is very intense, and the pressure on teachers now is a whole lot more than when I started back in 89. So you have a lot of kids coming in, and they're at varying levels in kindergarten and first grade, anywhere from right on track to levels below, depending on how much, whether they were in pre-K, whether their parents read to them, where they're coming in. So it's very diverse in elementary school as far as what that teacher is presented with and how much experience they have. If they're fresh out of college, it's not a lot. So they have a big learning curve when they're coming in.
Our conversation continues as we visit with Sherry Roberson, who is Supervisor of Special Education for the Putnam County Schools. Serving children with special needs and disabilities, our conversation rolls on with Sherry Roberson of the Putnam County School System. How much of dealing with these children has to do with the behavioral part and understanding how a disability, a learning challenge might make them react in the normal classroom?
It has become increasingly more over the last couple of years. Behavior has been the number one thing, it seems to be, that teachers have seen impacting their ability to provide instruction in the classrooms when you ask them. That has been a huge reason for referral. We're seeing more and more referrals with our pre-K. We have 13 special ed pre-Ks in our district, and we get a lot of referrals from the outside pre-K providers in our area, and the majority of them are because they've been kicked out due to behaviors. So we're seeing a very high need. A lot of it has to do with the child hasn't had demands put on them. They're coming into a school system where they're being asked to sit and receive instruction when they haven't had to sit and receive instruction for any amount of time, nor have they had demands put on them there where they're required to do something they don't want to do. They've always been able to escape and do task avoidance and not have to do it, or have not heard the word no. And so now they're encountering a teacher who is telling them something they have to do, and they're used to just having their fit and getting out of it sometimes, or avoiding that task by the behavior. And so we're challenging that in the school system, and the behavior gets worse before it gets better. And so sometimes that's very challenging in a class size of 20 kids. And then the teacher trying to teach at the same time that they're trying to change a behavior.
Especially, I would think, when you have other children who are seeing that behavior, and we all know as kids that we're all watching for any for what somebody else is getting away with.
Yes, and so sometimes that will trigger other behaviors if they're not careful in how it is dealt with. And then sometimes that behavior is a part of the disability. So it's a fine line that you're trying to tease out as to whether or not that behavior is a manifestation of that child's disability, and then working to shape those behaviors, or if that behavior is a learned behavior that child has learned to get what they want. So it's teasing out which it is, and either way you're going to shape that behavior, but there's a big difference whether or not that behavior is truly a part of that child's disability, and then we're working on doing some behavioral therapy, or if it's just that's a learned behavior to get what I want.
Sherry Robertson, let's advance forward to a young person in high school. And my sense is there is much more attention paid today by schools to how is this student going to become an adult? How are they going to function in a society, whether that's going off to college, whether that's going off to a community college, whether that's beginning a trade? And that seems different than maybe it has been in the past. Am I reading that correctly?
We have an awesome CTE program in Putnam County. They've worked really hard, and we've worked really well with them, with our students with disabilities, and they have access to all of the CTE programming. We have a good work-based learning program. Our community partners are great. Many of our students, when they graduate, have jobs in the community with our community partners. at all levels, whether it's our students with significant disabilities to our students who graduate with regular diplomas. So we've worked really hard in trying to get students prepared and ready to enter the workforce, because that's our ultimate goal, is that they are contributing members to our community, that they graduate and can whatever it is they want to do. We've always said we don't want to be their ceiling. We want them to go and be productive in their community at whatever level that is. And so we have some great community partners, and they are all throughout at many of the businesses and some of the factories and in the community that support us, that hire our kids. And but the high schools and the CTE programs that our students have access to has grown immensely.
Well, and the need has grown.
Yes, yes. And
I mean, you're talking about just like these autism numbers.
Yeah. Yes, but with what they train them to be ready for, to walk out into the community and be ready to do, it's pretty awesome with our CTE programming, or even to go into, they have the partnerships with Ball State and some of the other community colleges, even with Tech, to where they are already having the credits and things that they graduate with.
Is your job and that of your team, is it helped by the fact that I think as a general public, we understand more that, I'll just use autism because I have autistic nephews, and there's a more of an understanding today among most of us that, you know, that autistic child, they have real talents. They mm-hmm. have real abilities that some might see as a disability. And I think, for example, mathematics is an area where, in many cases, autistic children are just exceptional.
Well, I think they see more that the disability doesn't define the student.
Right.
So the student still has abilities that they can go on and do, and that if they remove that barrier for them, that they still have all these abilities that they can do, and you can't let that disability define and like I say, be that ceiling to where they can't go on and do what they need to do. Our job as a school system is to, yes, we've identified that disability. Now let's remove the barriers so that they can move on and do what they want to do in life. And so that is our job as the school system, is to teach them that just because you have that disability, that is not your excuse or your crutch to say, well, I have this, so now I can't do. It's more of, you have this, so now what? What barriers can we remove so that that is not your excuse to stand back or to say, I have this disability, so now you have to do for me. That's not what we do. It's, you have it, so now let's move forward and remove the things so you can do what you want to do. We've identified what's been holding you back, so now let's get it out of the way. So we don't ever want it to be people to excuse them. That's not your excuse for bad behavior. That's not your excuse to not have to follow the rules. That's not your excuse to not have to comply. That's part of who you are. So now let's remove the barriers so that you can move forward and contribute, and people can see, well, okay, so that's part of who you are. So now let's find what you want to do and can do.
Sherry Roberson is our guest from the Putnam County School System. We continue our discussion of exceptional learners, children with disabilities, and how the Putnam County Schools are trying to get them towards success. Sherry Roberson is the supervisor of special education. How important is the role that parents play in this?
Extremely important, because they're there on that front line. If you don't have the backing of the parents at home, reinforcing, supporting the teachers, supporting the schools, we're a team. So if any of the team is missing, then it's going to fall apart. Because, I mean, that parent is that student's lifeline. So they're who's supporting them at home. There's who giving that piece of support. If they are not on board with what that teacher's doing, then it sort of falls apart because that student doesn't then see the value in what that teacher's trying to accomplish with that student. Now, it might be somewhat successful, but it would be more successful when you have everybody on the same playing field moving toward the same goals. It's just a whole lot smoother and more successful because we always want everybody working together toward the same goal. And the parents are vitally important in that, in working, and we want to work together with the parents always.
Those parents who are the lifeblood, at the same time, they have those moments where it just feels insurmountable. And
yeah, well,
I bet the teachers feel that too, don't they?
We always say, you know, and I always tell teachers, you always need to see where a parent is in their journey because we're not in their shoes. So sometimes, you know, you have a parent who is just newly finding out a diagnosis or just in the first part of their walk with their student. You don't know where they are in acceptance. So they might be in denial or they might just be, you know, when you have typically developing students, you know they're going to hit all those milestones. So then you have a parent of a child with a significant disability, they're not going to drive. They're not going to get married. They may not, you know, hit some of those milestones. Well, that's hard to accept. So as you're sitting there with a parent and you're planning and you're planning different things, they're seeing you say, well, your child's not going to get a regular diploma. You're putting them down a pathway. That's hard to accept. So there may be some times of anger. There may be some times of lashing out. It's not, you know, I tell teachers, don't take it personally. Because that's a time they're having to accept some things that you may not have to accept in your life. Or they may have had a night where they were up all night with a child who doesn't sleep. Well, they might have had a rough night, so they may be coming at you. So it's just sometimes you're walking a walk with a family that's had a rough time.
But do the teachers also walk a different path than maybe a regular classroom teacher?
Yes, they do. So, and there's times they're advocates. There were times I had to be an advocate for my student. And I had to go in because it wasn't, you know, maybe being the mediator in a situation. There's times even in my role that I go in as a mediator. Because there's been a misunderstanding. And many times it's a communication thing. It's at no fault of anybody. It's just a miscommunication. And once that's fixed, but it's being able to see from both sides of the coin. And many times I'm very blessed to have consulting teachers who help and support me throughout the district. And many of my consulting teachers have children who have disabilities, and they understand from that parent side. So when they're working with families, they know they walk that walk. And many of my teachers are the same. They have, you know, children of their own with disabilities. So as they're sitting at the table, they understand where that parent's been because they've been there too. So they can kind of help walk that walk with the parents and be that. But when you have young teachers who don't have children and trying to understand where the parent's coming from, sometimes there's a miscommunication and not at the fault of that teacher. They're trying to go through and do what they need to get done and then teach. It's just bringing those two together on the same page. And so sometimes that can be difficult.
Sherry Roberson is our guest. As we wrap up our conversation with Sherry Roberson of the Putnam County School System, you've bragged on the school system and the county overall for its support of those children with special needs. But broaden it out. The numbers that you've pointed to, I'm sure they're no different in Putnam County than they are in Davidson County or in whatever county in Georgia or Pennsylvania that you want to speak about. So from the government perspective, from the state of Tennessee's perspective, do you think we understand that this is only going to continue to be an important part of education that we're going to have to fund and likely put more resources into?
I don't know that they do. Sometimes because we can always utilize the funding. I don't think that they see the amount that it takes. About 15 to 16% of the students in Putnam County have a disability when you look at it. But it takes more teachers, more assistants in those classrooms that we have to serve our students with disabilities because the numbers that we have, the rise in significant disabilities, the behaviors, it takes more to serve the students and the funding that comes from the state, that comes from the federal government, does not cover the amount that it takes to serve the students. And so many times it's left to the district to try to figure it out. And that's hard to figure out. And we're in budget time right now. And I know that Mr. King is trying to figure it out. And SPED is very needy. But he always tries to find the way to figure it out. And it's very hard. It's hard on him. It's hard on the board. They always do. You know, they're going to do what they need to do for us to serve our kids. But it's very hard for them to figure it out when that funding is not coming in for us to do what we need to do.
It's a good thing then you were here to share that story so that we all understand that the need is there and the need is going to continue to grow because we know that these children are more and more a part of our society and we want the best for them. Sherry Roberson, Supervisor of Special Education for the Putnam County Schools. Thanks for the education today.